Hi, and welcome to the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. I am your host, Kat Jepsen, a canine nutritionist with an innate obsession with dogs and the natural ways in which we are driven to live because of them. So, let's get to it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. This evening, I have some very special guests. I am joined by Nicola, Keisha, and Vic from Raw Feeding for Dogs Made Simple. And tonight, we're going to be talking about how conflicts and advice on social media brought them together to create the biggest UK-only support group for raw feeding. Good evening, ladies.
Hello. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks ever so much for coming on the podcast. I'm so excited to be chatting with you this evening. How are you all feeling?
Good.
Let's talk about dogs. So then, ladies, to kick us off, I think it's a really good starting point for you to each tell us a little bit about you and your dogs. So, Vic, do you want to start?
So I'm Vic. I'm based in the northwest, in between Liverpool and Manchester. I've got two dogs. I've got Benji, who's a beagle cocker. He's about 5 years old now. And I've got Arnie, who is a very loud three-year-old beagle. both of them on full raw diet. Both of them have a natural pathway. But I am a bit of a rebel because I do use one vaccine that I have to give every year in order for boarding.
And which vaccine is that?
It's the lepto one. Everything else a titer test for. If I didn't have to use boarding facilities, which I have to use for my work, then I wouldn't do it, but I have no choice in the matter, so I look at natural ways to help and support them. Having that vaccine.
Well, we have to do what we have to do, don't we, in our situation, whatever presents itself in that moment, we have to work around it. And like you say, there are ways you can still support him afterwards. So, so thank you very much. And Nicola?
So I'm Nicola. I'm from Aberdeen in Scotland. I have two dogs. They're both Sprocker Spaniels. My eldest is Arlo. He is 6, going on 7 this year. And Rufus will be 3 at the end of May.
And what do you feed your dogs?
A full raw diet. Arlo used to be kibble fed until about, I think he was 3 years old when I made the change. I'd always kind of gone down the more natural route with him from a pup, though. He had his puppy vaccines and that was it. Neither of them have been vaccinated since. They've only ever had the puppy ones, and I've always kind of gone the natural route when it comes to like worming and stuff. Like, I'd always seen that online. I just hadn't taken the plunge to do a raw diet until he was 3.
Well, it's a big thing, isn't it? I think when you're completely new to it as well, like, you have to be ready for it. Like, it's not just about your dog, it's about you being ready for the big change, you know, because it's completely different to pouring out some food into a bowl. It isn't that much different, but I think us as people struggle to get our heads around the actual, you know, principle of feeding raw meat. It's that kind of thing, isn't it? Because it's not normal for us. So rather than, you know, because I mean, some people make it out to be complicated anyway, don't they? Which is just nonsense. but I think just people struggle to come to terms with the fact that dogs eat raw meat. So that can be like a big change. And Keisha, what about you?
I'm Keisha and I've got three dogs. I've got Minnie the Jack Russell, who is 9. She'll be coming up 10 in June. I've got Mabel the German Shepherd, who is 3. She'll be coming up 4 in June. And I've got Meadow the Husky, who has just turned 3. And they're all on a raw diet, all natural. Minnie started when she was 6. When she started her raw diet, it made a massive difference for our health, she's like a puppy again. You wouldn't think she's coming up 10. Obviously, a massive change for Mabel because she, as a puppy, she was on kibble.
Yeah.
And she does have a lot of health issues. So a raw diet, natural kind of preventions and things like that have helped her health. And yeah. Meadow's a husky. All I can say about Meadow is she's a husky. And I think being on a raw diet is probably, she's probably a lot calmer than a lot of other huskies that's probably on kibble.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, does she need a lot of exercise?
We do a lot of exercise where she like walk and off lead fields, but a lot of mental enrichment as well. She needs a lot of that as well as the walk, because she could walk 24 hours and still be going and going.
Yeah, I know. I can.
The mental side helps.
It's in the DNA, isn't it, just to be like that? Oh, well, that's wonderful. So that's seven between you all. And I'm guessing it's obviously the dogs that brought you all together. So before we move on to Raw Feeding for Dogs Made Simple, I want to learn a little bit more about you personally. So, Vic, we'll start with you. So explain to us a little bit about what your natural journey looks like now and how it started. So what's like kind of spurred you on to join the Raw Feeding Club?
So before the two dogs that I've got now, I had a dog called Hooch, and he was fed kibble, not even a decent like brand, just whatever was on offer, to be totally honest.
Yeah,
he was a very large dog. It was mastiff cross with something, so he was about 7.5 stone, and absolutely whopping. So he had a lot of food. So we just fed him whatever was on offer, didn't think about it because telly tells you feed these things, it's fine. And he collapsed one night, literally just jumped on the bed, stood looking at me and collapsed.
Oh.
And we rang the vet. The second the vet turned up, he came out of whatever was going on, typically. Probably £250 call out fee.
Oh, the little buggers out there.
Can't see anything wrong. A few days later, we went on holiday and a bit worried, sort of gave the heads up to the kennels about it. And he collapsed again while he was there, three more times. And then they took him to the vet. And he collapsed a final time at the vet and he didn't come back. They suspected, but they could never prove it at the time. There wasn't like tests. I don't know if things have evolved.
Yeah.
They said there's not really much point testing to see if it's dilated cardiomyopathy, but it more than likely is with his symptoms and his breeding. And she said pretty much there was nothing you could have done other than fed him a different diet. And at the time, too busy in grief, I didn't really listen. So I sort of, about a week or two later, I started to think I need something to focus my mind, because he was like my emotional support dog.
Definitely.
I started to spiral, so I decided to start looking into diet of dogs and started studying things, started searching on Instagram and Facebook for different groups, learning what I could. And it became a bit of a thing for 12 months where he just studied constantly, and every time the other half would come in from work, he'd be like, hi, how was your day? And I'd go, you'll never guess what study I've been reading. And he'd be like, I've just come in after a 12-hour shift, give me a minute, please. But I just found I really actually enjoyed it. And then when we got Benji, he had awful gut health, to the point where he couldn't actually eat any meat at all. He had to have a fish-based kibble.
Wow.
Anything else, and he was violently ill.
Yeah.
And after about a year of me mithering, I sort of managed to get Pet Fool documentary on YouTube and sat the other half down and made him watch it. And I said, come on, we're going into lockdown. If we're going to swap food, now is the time, because we're both, well, like, I'm going to be at home all the time, so I can do the feeding, which didn't work out. He ended up doing most of it because I couldn't But at the time, the idea struck a chord with him, and we swapped a roar. And then from that, I started thinking, well, hang on, I'm doing this raw diet so that I know what's going into my dog. But then every year I'm putting injections into him.
Yeah.
So then I looked at that side and started doing vaccine checks instead through a clinic that's local to me.
Yeah.
And then I started looking at flea and worm treatments and was like, why are we giving them every month? Because they might have them. So I started looking at natural preventions. He was on medication for hay fever. I looked at natural ways to support that. And he's been medication free ever since. Obviously, every dog will be different, but for him, he really responded well to it. And I was able to bring him away from those medications. Yeah. So I try now to always think, how can I support naturally?
Yeah.
If he needs medication, I will still use it. As I've said, I have to use Lepto every year in order to board them at the kennels. So I'll always support people where they are using medications. I'm not against that in any way, but if I can support them, the dogs, naturally as well, then so be it.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, there is kind of this big, I don't know what to call it, appropriately, kind of, I want to say argument about, or, you know, people who are on more of the side of conventional methods think that everybody on the holistic side hates conventional methods, but there's a place for everything, you know. It just happens to be that holistic approaches look at every single aspect of the dog as a unique individual being and their environment, and they'll try and do it in a natural way before, you know, doing it, you know, symptomatically, like the conventional methods do. I mean, I try to be holistic as possible. One of my dogs is epileptic. He has anti-seizure medication, and, you know, it's just not something that you can toy about with in certain circumstances, is it? So
no,
I do have the place.
And I mean, Benji had been on so many different medications in that first year of his life, and I dread to think of the harm that I probably did to his gut, in all honesty, through giving him all these different things from the vet. But the vet never once did a test.
No.
It was always just check his temperature, here's some medication. They told me he had pancreatitis, probably, never tested for it.
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably had pancreatitis. Something as serious as that.
Yeah. And they actually offered me a food that contained the two ingredients I told them he could not under any circumstance have. There was chicken and rice, and they said he can't stomach them at all, and they came back with a bag of chicken and rice.
Yeah, I know. It's so saddening to see, because I feel more and more, like, especially I see it in practice, that pet parents are having to push vets to do tests to get diagnosis, and when they do, like you say, they just, 9 times out of 10, they'll just send them away with some medication, and with that, there's no explanation of the side effects, possible side effects, there's no explanation of the detrimental impact it can have to the rest of the body. And I have had clients come to me who have been seen by the vet and expressed concerns about what antibiotics do to their dog's gut health, and vets have looked at them like they're some kind of alien, like, as if to say, what are you talking about? And it's like, yeah, but you're supposed to be supporting these people with their pet's health journey. But, you know, it's just, I'm not saying that all vets are the same like that.
It's not, not, and you know, really vets,
but it is a struggle.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, we are at a different practice now who have been absolutely incredible, and they're really supportive of the Benji's raw journey and Arnie's. But up until that point at the old practice we were at, I was told to get off Google when I said, what about side effects? And I was like, I'm asking, I haven't been on Google, I'm asking a question because I'm asking my dog and medication.
Yeah.
And I always check my side effects of medications. And they said, you don't need to know about that. You'll know if he's got any reactions. And they sort of were really offhanded. And it's definitely not all vets, and a lot are absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
But we did have such a struggle with him when they really could have just run a simple test to see if it was pancreatitis or not. But we just found by stripping that diet back that he was able to eat everything.
Yeah.
And it was basically leaky gut after all that.
Yeah, I know, which you had to navigate yourself.
Literally just by reading up and seeing what we can figure out and talking to the guys in the shops who have got so much wealth of information and knowledge. I've been really lucky with the shop by me. They've got years and years in the industry, and they've supported every step of the way.
Yeah, I think it's really important to have a decent relationship with your vet and any kind of professional that you got working with your dog, because I mean, you know, our dogs are essentially our kids these days, and you have to be confident in what they say. And but in you know, when the tables turned, if you ask them questions, they should be willing to explain things to you, because they're the ones who are educated about it, and they're the ones who can provide you with this information, so you don't have to go to Google and start looking at side effects of certain drugs because your vet hasn't explained it to you. And it's just sometimes they just, I don't know if it's because they're stressed out or, you know, but it's just sometimes it just seems like that's not the case. And I think pet parents do struggle with that massively, don't they?
It was straight away, I was like, I can't go back to that practice. So we swapped, and as I say, we've never been happier with where we are now. They're quite supportive.
Look at him, he's poking his nose in.
And then the other one has to come because he gets
jelly tarts. Yeah, jelly tarts, mine are like that. Oh yeah, so you actually unfortunately had a painful experience which kind of threw you down the rabbit hole. I think, you know, that I did as well. And I think when you do come from a place of pain, you obsess about everything. Well, I know I definitely did.
Every small detail you have to know. And I have OCD as well, so I'm even worse.
Oh, wow.
I drive everyone mad with lists and spreadsheets. But,
well, that's good, though, because it means people can then follow the information clearly. So that's good. Okay, so Nicola, what about you?
So my journey kind of, well, it started with Arlo. He's my first dog. I grew up always wanted dogs, was never allowed dogs. So when me and James moved in together and got our first flat, we were just renting. So we'd asked the agency that we were renting from if we could get a dog, and they said yes. So we got Arlo. My partner's always had dogs. He's always grown up with them. So a lot of how we kind of, I guess, raised Arlo came from his experience with dogs. And that was kind of like, well, that's where the fact we only vaccinated Arlo with his puppy vaccinations, that's because his family didn't vaccinate their dogs. I think they just got their puppy ones, and that's kind of it. And it was the same with like worm and tablets. Like, I think Arlo maybe got tablets until he was maybe about 6 months to a year. I don't think he was still getting worm and tablets when he was a year. I think we'd stopped that before then. But again, that's where that came from, because his family didn't do that for their dogs. So at that point in time, we didn't really do anything else. But then I ended up coming across a herbal company that sold like supplements and stuff. I think I'd seen them in my local dog shop, and I started following them on Facebook, and that's kind of where my actual kind of natural journey started, and using supplements for like preventing and for the worming aspect and stuff like that, and flea and tick. And it was kind of like a gradual approach into getting into raw feeding, because the owner of this business, Raw Fed, so that's kind of where I started getting some information on that, and then following accounts on Instagram who Raw Fed. And then, similar to Vic, lockdown came about, and we'd bought the house the year before lockdown, I think it was, so we had more space, and I was just like, we're going to switch to raw.
Yeah.
I knew I wanted to like get a freezer, so like I still had lots of food left over from when Arlo was on like a kibble and wet diet, so yeah. I think I've seen a chest freezer and it was on offer, and I'm very impulsive, so I bought it and it sat in my dining room for probably 2 months before I actually finished the food that I had for Arlo, because I was like, I've paid for it, I'm using it, I'm not going to just chuck it. And plus it gave me the time to kind of look into how to actually switch to a raw diet, and I was looking up like companies online and reading their transition kind of guide, and then I would go into a different one and read that and it would be different, and I was just like, I got so overwhelmed, and I was like, I just need someone to tell me what to do. And I decided to the dog shop, I think, when I'd found this supplement company, they stocked some raw, so I went in and spoke to them, and they got me started with the Raw Factory, because that was a local kind of brand, and that's where we started with switching Arlo to raw, and I've never looked back, because he was fine. He didn't have like any kind of issues in terms of the food that he was fed. He just wasn't excited at meal times. He just he ate out of necessity, not because he enjoyed it. Like,
yeah,
you would put the bowl down and he'd leave it, and then he'd eat it just before bed. Like, it was always the same. You'd be like getting ready to go up the stairs to bed, and he'd like be like, "Oh, I better go and eat now." Whereas when we switched to a raw diet, like the first meal was, you just put it down and it was pretty much gone. It was a complete change.
Yeah, what a transformation. I think that's nice though, because I mean, like, I know I definitely dived in feet first down the rabbit hole, and Vic, it sounds like you dived in feet first down the rabbit hole as well. So to actually, you know, hear your experience of doing it gradually and kind of just taking little bits here and there, that's quite refreshing, because I think it can be really overwhelming when you dive straight down the rabbit hole as well. And sometimes, don't get me wrong, we're forced into it. Like, it's just something that we can't avoid.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's good. So did the transition go then?
Yeah, it went okay. We didn't have any problems. I think we started with tripe, which thankfully it was okay with Arlo. There wasn't any issues, but obviously we know from the group side of things, a lot of dogs don't do well starting on tripe. So I was lucky in that respect. But Arlo used to be quite fussy once we properly got into raw feeding, because up where I am in Scotland, there's not a massive amount of selection, or there wasn't when I began. I've got another raw shop, which I've got a good variety of brands now, so it's better than when I first started. But it can be difficult to get certain brands up here because they're just not willing to deliver that far. So for a good, I don't know how long it would have been, probably like 6 months, the only brand Arlo was getting was Raw Factory, and he was really fussy when I tried to introduce new ones. He's completely different now. I got Rufus, and now he just scoffs everything.
Competition.
Yeah, pretty much.
Dog, get a second dog.
Yeah.
It works every time. Yeah. Oh, dearie me. Oh, wow, that's lovely. And what about you, Keisha?
So mine's a bit similar to Vic. Obviously, yeah. I lost a dog. We had a little Jack Russell called Rolo. He was 3, nearly 4.
Yeah.
Went on the school run. He was absolutely fine. Come back and he was gone.
Whoa, no way.
Absolutely fine. And gone to the vet to say, like, help. But they were like, and they tried, and they were just couldn't do anything. He said it was either food related or medically related. They couldn't, the only way they could find out was to do with like an autopsy.
Yeah.
And at the time, I had two distressed kids with us. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
So with them seeing that, I got home, I was like, right, what was in the food? What was I doing wrong there? What meant like the fleeing and the worm, and what was I doing there?
Yeah.
I've done all this, I've grew up with dogs, like nothing's ever happened like this before, so why now?
Yeah.
So I went down the rabbit hole and everything as well. And then I've come across a few like nutrition courses, so I started jumping on them.
Yeah.
And then I was going to say, well, me and Vic, we've done the iPet.
Yeah.
Course. And it's just massively opened my eyes, because I thought I knew dogs and I was like savvy with dogs, because I grew up with them. I used to show them and things like that as well. So now I'm just learning constantly of everything.
I know. I think it is a bit of a grey area, isn't it? Because I mean, like Nicola said, like your other half, I can't remember what his name was, your other half's family didn't vaccinate and didn't flea and worm their dogs, but like that used to be normal. Like in the 70s and stuff, that was so normal, you know. Nobody vaccinated their dogs, nobody fleed and wormed their dogs. Dogs, I mean, they even used to be allowed to roam the streets and then go home at the end of the day, which I mean, we couldn't do that now, because I mean, it's far too busy and everybody wants to pinch everybody's dog and you know, everything like that. Everything has changed since the 70s, but that used to be normal. And it's only in the past like 50 years that more and more and more chemicals are coming out in the environment. We're being asked to put more chemicals into and onto our dogs. And then obviously there's the big bad ugliness about pet food, which we're all well aware of in this circle. Which, you know, it's all contributing factors. And it makes you question everything, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, massively.
Yeah, so that's sad. I'm sorry that you've had to have baneful experiences, but you have made some amazing improvements to the Raw and Natural Feeding Society.
Oh, you know, hugely. I think obviously with having Mabel as a pup, she started quite early. I mean, we started on tripe, which for her wasn't the best, because we now know she can't tolerate shrimp.
Yeah.
But again, for Minnie, for starting her at 6, she's like Benjamin Button for going backwards.
Yeah, that's amazing to see though, isn't it?
So it's a lot of people like see and go, wow, like how old am I? She's nearly 10. Like, she's not. I mean, she's nearly 10.
Yeah, I know, it's great. But 10, like realistically, 10 should be sort of like middle age, shouldn't it? You know, in reality, we should be aiming for 20 years with our dogs. And now we're just grateful if they make it to 10. But and that again is something that is seem to be normal now, which we should strive for 20. I think we should strive for 20. That's what we need to do. We need to start the campaign.
Minnie is going to outlive us all.
Yeah.
My gran had a Jack Russell, and he was, I'm not joking you, I was little when this, well, I was born in 1990, so this was in the 90s. And he lived till 19. And I am not joking you, this is going to sound really bad for all of our jobs, but he lived on kibble and like table scraps, which weren't that healthy, might I add. Sausages, bacon, you know, she did put like vegetables and meat and stuff in his bowl, but every single day he had some biscuits on the bottom, and then he had like whatever they cooked for tea on top of his kibble. And he lived to 19, but he never had any of the treatments. Like he never had vaccines, he never had flea and worm treatments. He was walked twice a day. Well, when I say walked, he was basically, my granddad took him down the field and he was allowed to do what he wanted for like an hour, you know. He was free to choose, and he lived to 19. But Jack Russells are, you know, they are really durable breeds normally, aren't they? So, but I know it's just one of those things. But whereas now, we are grateful if we get 10 years, which is sad. It's so, so sad. Yeah.
It is.
Okay. So let's try and cheer it up a bit. So I'm going to, the next question I usually ask people is, how has it changed your life? So I think this is probably a good time to start talking about Raw Feeding for Dogs Made Simple, because this is obviously how it has changed your lives. And this has basically enabled you to change the lives of thousands, literally thousands of people in the UK. So for anyone listening, Raw Feeding for Dogs Made Simple is a, did start off as a Facebook group? Is that how you started? Yeah. And now you've got a website. Okay, yeah. And you are just about near enough 25,000 members, aren't you, at the moment?
Yeah.
Okay, it's amazing. So I think one of you, I don't know who you want to do, would you like to just give us a little bit of a lowdown on the Facebook group and the kinds of things that you offer?
Shall I go? So we have got the group started, it was three in December.
Yeah.
So it's just over 3 years old, coming up 25,000 members. We actually set off saying if we help just one person, it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely.
And now having helped 25,000, it's like, wow.
Yeah,
it's incredible. And we've seen people come and people go, and people will keep returning because they'll come and ask a question and go away and then think, hang on, what they said was right, and come back to us. And we'll see other people who stay, and we've got so many members who from day one have been there, and they came in really nervous, really dubious about the benefits of Raw. Years of those adverts on telly telling them what to feed, and then we've sort of brought them in and helped and supported them, and now they're going on doing that as well.
Helping
and supporting all of our mods and admins started as members in the group, so they've all been that new person, they've all been just starting off on their raw journey. We sort of operate on a, there's no such thing as a daft question, because we have asked them, trust us.
Definitely.
The only thing that is the daft question is the one you don't ask.
It is. That's a good motto. That's a good motto.
So we do sort of say anything, any questions at all, as long as it's about raw or natural support, we can help. We don't get involved in breeding issues. We don't get involved in dry food debates or wet food debates. There's other groups for that. We stay in our lane. If it's a medical question, we tell you you need medical advice, or we'll decline it and say you really need to go to a vet now. If it's, we're really sort of clear on what we will do, because you get some groups where they say they're food related and then they've got branches going off into different areas, and you just think, stay in your lane. I'm studying to be a behaviorist. We still won't touch those areas because we're not qualified to. Needs to be going, you need to go to the right person for the advice.
You do.
We get anything through from wanting to start feeding more, wanting to keep kibble but put fresh food in the bowl, which is awesome if people can just do that. Even 20% goes a long way. We get a lot of fussy eaters. Most of them all breeds, funnily enough. And all female going through heat or cycles. That is so common. Then in the hot weather, the German Shepherds start. They become really fussy. The only ones that don't are the Beagles and the Sprockers, apparently. We get absolutely all sorts, but we do get a large proportion who come in saying, my dog can't have certain proteins because they're allergic. I've had a hair sample test done, or I've had a saliva test done. And unless it's a blood test at the vet on a raw protein, ignore it. Because the hair testing, the science is still a bit iffy. The saliva testing will only show an intolerance, not an allergy. And the blood tests, majority of them are actually on cooked proteins or food flavorings. So try the raw. Give it a go. Just give a tiny amount and see how they get on. It really is the only way of doing it is to just try and see.
Yeah.
We've been there, we've experienced the allergy issues. Obviously, leaky gut can make you think your dog's got allergies or pancreatitis in my case. and you know, it's all about just start off with what you can. I didn't feed chicken to Benji for, I think it was, well, it was 3 years ago. So a whole year I didn't feed him chicken.
Was it not chicken and pork that you didn't feed Vic?
It was actually pork as well. I forgot about pork. Ooh, that was.
How can you forget about pork?
Because they were the two things. When I fed him treats with either of those in, he would be so ill. And it would be rapid. Within seconds of eating, he was like the exorcist. So I just wouldn't give him it anymore. And they've come in again for their job.
He knows you're speaking about him.
He does. He can hear his name.
I would never do that. So they sort of waited for that year and just focused on building his gut health up. I was told... Yeah. In other groups that I couldn't give him bone broth or kefir because they'd be really bad for him. Both of them can help support a dog with leaky gut, but they told me, no, your dog's got pancreatitis, and I said he hasn't. It's suspected, never confirmed. Should not just try a bit? And they said, no, don't give it. And they actually kicked me out in one group because I posted a picture with the kefir paw and the bone broth paw. After speaking to the people who make the products and then them helping and supporting me, and they kicked me out.
Wow.
Ignoring their advice.
So was this before you created Robbie? Okay.
So you know, we've all been there with that bad advice that we've been given by other sources, and it is frustrating, and it is, as Nick said, really overwhelming when you're seeing conflicting information.
Yeah.
So we've in June last year created our website.
Yeah.
Because we have quite a lot of people on Instagram or TikTok who'll say, I haven't got Facebook. How can I get this information? So we built the website so the people, no matter where they are, can go and access it. And we literally do get worldwide hits on the website now, which is absolutely incredible to see the map where everyone is, unless people are having some amazing holidays. Checking in, they're literally, I think it was Indonesia was a new one last week, and Peru was another one, and it's amazing.
So although you are a UK only group on Facebook, you're still managing to help people around the world.
Because we're not focusing on you must follow this.
Yeah.
We're saying this is a base.
Yeah.
Go from there and branch out how you feel for your individual dog, because every dog is slightly different.
Yeah.
None of us really feed a lot of veg.
Yeah.
For example, but then certain dogs will need more veg.
Yeah.
Like older dogs might need a lot more fibre, for example. But we've all got quite young dogs, apart from little Minnie, bless her. But she does amazing. She loves her bones, Minnie. So, you know, it's all about that flexibility. And once you have that base, you can tweak and add in and swap and change and see what works best for your dog.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, their two dogs are the same. And even if you've got, you know, dogs from the same litter and they live in the same household, the chances of them being the same is very, very slim. Mm-hmm. Same with members of your family. You know, even when they're biologically related, they're not the same. And like you say, it is. I do like that method. That's kind of like what I say to people is you start with a solid foundation and then you look at your individual dog, because there is no one size fits all to feed a dog. Like, definitely not. Every dog is an individual, so I do definitely think that's important, and it's good that people can learn that from you, because like you say, I mean, well, next question you can answer. How or what was the reason for you forming the group? Because this is what I feel like this is kind of where we're going with the conversation.
Just letting these
Nick, do you want to answer or do you want me to answer?
I don't mind. Do you want to go?
Go on, you go.
Okay. So we all met on Instagram. It was like an engagement kind of group chat on Instagram. And I think it was primarily for raw feeding. And we were all kind of, because we were all, we'd all transitioned to raw, but it was like early kind of days of us all being raw feeders, and we were discussing about the different groups that were on like Facebook and stuff, and about all the different advice that we'd been given in terms of how to transition and the issues that we'd all kind of had or had felt like were being overwhelmed with all the different information out there and stuff. And as time went on, we were kind of like, why don't we just make a group ourselves to try and help other people that are feeling overwhelmed, and just try and make the process as simple as possible for switching to a raw diet. And that's where the idea for the group came from.
Yeah, so then you literally have built it from the ground up, haven't you? And yep. It's just fascinating to see so much hard work, because you don't get paid for any of this, do you? Like, you do it all for free in your own time. And all of the resources on the Facebook group and on the website have just, like, basically been built by your own hands in your spare time, which is absolutely amazing. Because, I mean, if anyone's listening, if you are members of the group, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But if you haven't, when you get there, because you will by the end of this episode, you will see there are so, so many different resources on the Facebook group. And then obviously I'm guessing everything on the Facebook group is also on the website, is that right?
Yeah
God, that's wonderful. So you all just kind of like bumped into each other on Instagram and started venting about how confusing raw feeding transitioning was, because everybody's saying something different, and then just basically decided that you were just going to make it simple for everyone else to benefit from.
Yeah, pretty much.
And now you're 25,000 members in.
It's crazy.
It is.
Never thought we'll get a 25. It's just
the last few months of the group. It's just
exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's amazing, though.
What was it at the end of December? I think we'd
22.
We did hit just 20.
Yeah, we did hit 20 for the birthday. I remember that much.
So you've literally gained like another 5,000 members in what, in less than 3 months?
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? That's all your hard work paying off.
It's just mental.
Do you ever like sort of pinch yourself because you don't feel like it's real?
Every time we hit a new 1,000, we're like, what?
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's amazing, though, just to know how many are being helped at the end of the day. And
yeah.
As we say, even if people are just adding 20% fresh food into a bowl, it's something, it's better than nothing.
That's the main thing, isn't it? I think there is, because the majority of people do still feed pet food. I know pet food sales have dropped in recent years because of the rise of obviously different styles of food, because I mean, there's still other styles of fresh and raw, but there is still predominantly a pet food fed population of dogs out there. And you know, 25,000 of those, which is mega, are like, you know, now jumping on the fresh food train because of you guys, and they might not have done if they hadn't found your support network. So it's absolutely amazing, so well done.
Thank
I think
you
it's great. Okay, so next question: what is the most common thing that you have to deal with in the group? Now you can all feel free to chip in like to the answers for these ones.
Let's have some.
It's what
Keisha will be a good one.
Fussy eaters. And 9 times out of 10 it is a northern breed. I've just gone through it. I've had 5 days of no eating from Med or the husky, and she's finally here tonight, so that's quite short for her for not eating. She can go longer.
What, does she really?
The longer she's gone is 2 weeks.
Does she do it often?
She'll have like the odd treat in that 2 weeks, but food wise, no, she does. It's mainly really when she's come out of season, she'll kind of have a phantom pregnancy.
Yeah.
Which you get, that's another kind of common one, especially for like people who's got female dogs on the group, is it's fussy eating, seasons and phantoms, and allergies, like itchy dogs. I think that's the big four on the group. Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, when it comes to girl dogs, because I've got three, everyone's like, here's your help.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So do you know why she doesn't eat for 2 weeks, or is it just something that she does?
It's a very northern breed thing. They're very good at self-regulating as it is anyway.
Yeah.
And they're very stubborn.
So though, when she does that, you don't panic because you know it's normal.
The first time she ever did it, I did.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, she's not eating. What on earth's going on? But now it's just like,
she's doing it again. It's fine. She'll be all right.
I'll go back in the freezer. It's fine.
Yeah. Now you just think you're saving money.
Yeah. 2 weeks. 2 weeks free. No, I think it's good though, because I think that people do tend to think if the dog doesn't eat for 24 hours, they're going to die. Which is completely not true.
The thing is, though, because I see all these in the group, but I don't have that happen with my dogs, or never have had. When I got Arnie as a pup, I'd completely forgotten about puppy teething and puppy tiredness. And that can make them not want to eat. And Arnie refused a meal, and I was literally on the phone to the girls in tears, saying, Arnie's ill, he's not eating anything. And they were like, Beck, he's been at daycare today. And he's going to be tired. And he's teasing. What does the fussy eater guide say? And I was like, oh, yeah, okay.
I think, though, there is this thing, isn't there? Like, you can sit there and somebody asks you a question, you can answer them all day long. But then when it's your own dog, you just lose all kind of, like, common sense and everything, don't you? Just get these cloud goggles on where you're just like, oh no, what the hell is happening?
I had that the other day with Rufus, because he ended up being sick, and I was like, right, I've got chicken defrosting for food tomorrow, and then it came to tea time and I was like, should I give him an egg? And I was like messaging these two, and I was like, should I give him an egg with his tea? Will I scramble an egg? I was like, I don't know whether just to leave him and just give him broth, or what do I do?
I know, it's hard, isn't it?
Knowledge just goes out your brain when it's your own dog.
Yeah. It does, because you're looking for that reassurance, aren't you? And it's like, that's when you need your little soldier in the corner to kind of say, come on now, come round a bit, you know what to do. So, what is your favourite issue to deal with? Or should I say, we'll go with issue. So what's your favourite thing that you have to deal with? Like, if somebody sends a question, you're like, oh, me, I want to deal with this one. Does anyone do that?
Nicola, enrichment.
She really does go for the enrichment post.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Do you just love it?
I've got so many enrichment, like, toys, bowls.
In fact, yes, you have. I think I've seen some
I've
of
got a lot from you when you had the coffee shop.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got a big collection. So if anyone's, like, because we occasionally get posts in the group asking for different type of feeder ideas or, like, toys, and the girls always send it to me, and it's like, go and show them your collection.
Goals. Enrichment goals.
The thing is, people don't realise how important enrichment is as well. I actually saw just before we came on this podcast, there's been another study. Again, it's only small scale, unfortunately, and they have said they need to do it on a wider scale, where they gave dogs a bowl to eat from for so long and gave them enrichment feeders, and they sort of measured different levels of endorphins and things. I haven't read it all, I admit, but I know Mark Beckhoff has done a lot of studies on the behavioral side and trying to sort of mimic those natural holding on to something and ripping and tearing. Obviously raw meat and bones, great, What about the dog who has teeth extractions? What about the dog who just doesn't tolerate bone content very well? There's got to be other ways. So having enrichment feeders and great if your dog can stomach a trachea, stuff a trachea with the raw food, and just trying to find those different ways and helping people to understand dogs don't eat from a bowl.
Yeah.
And that was the hygienic human panic sort of way of doing things, but ditch the bowl.
It is, yeah, definitely. I tend to use those, I use the big slow feeder plates from Licky Mart. Like I am, I do have a pretty impressive collection of feeder bowls from the shop. But I don't use, I'll be honest, I don't use hardly any of them anymore. I just use the plates. I am lazy with it though. I am lazy with it because the collection is not in the kitchen at the minute because I'm waiting for my new pantry to be finished. So they are not like easily accessible. Still, I like to use the big ones because I once I watched this webinar about natural behaviors of dogs. Can't remember who did it now, and they were basically saying that the big like flat plates is how they would eat in the wild because they would like stand over the food and eat over the food, which is not the same as a bowl. So I just use them because to be fair, I do find when the food is spread out, it takes them longer to eat.
It's like, honestly, Licky Mat, those platters are amazing. I've got them all as well.
Yeah.
they're brilliant. The only problem I find is I have to spread it out and then I think, oh, there's a space. What can I
do? I know. But it always makes them look like they've got a massive meal as well, doesn't it? You know, when you spread it out, like
it encourages like their natural foraging behavior as well.
Yeah.
So if you've got different parts, different components of DIY, for example, on there, you can see what parts your dog's actually going to first of all, and it's amazing to watch.
Yeah, because like Barney, my big Boston Terrier, he's not bothered. He will go and he will eat whatever his mouth touches first because he's savage. Like he's having it all. And he's like, he'll eat it in 30 seconds flat. No matter how you feed it to him. Apart from, I have to give him my, what is it? Maybe when it's turkey necks. If it's turkey necks and I've cut it up into pieces that are big enough and small enough for him, then they take him a little bit longer because obviously they've got a chunkier piece of bone in than what he'd normally get with his size. They're the only things that kind of take him a bit of time because he has to focus chewing them, but he inhales everything. Like literally, he is such a dog, you know. He's such a dog. Whereas Boris, my little petite little Boston Terrier, he like springs up to the plate and he sniffs every single thing first before he decides what he's gonna eat. It's just so funny watching him do it because he's like, he's such a little girl, you know what I mean? Like, he is.
Again, if you fed in a bowl, you wouldn't be able to see that he's doing that. And he might not be able to sniff to everything. So he might smell something he doesn't want and walk away.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It's the truth. I can't bring myself to put it in a bowl anymore, though. You know, I just can't do it, you know.
I rarely use bowls anymore. Now, a lot of the time, especially for Meadow, she prefers to be fed off a board.
A board, yeah. Well, I debated just because I have a thing about putting stuff in the dishwasher, and I was debating just getting some stainless steel baking trays and just sticking it all on there, and you know, cause it's a nice big flat surface. I was like, I might just stick it on one of them, and then I can just sling it in. I do put the slow feeders in the dishwasher anyway because they're all right to go in.
Muffin trays.
We could try that. We'll all be doing that next. You'll be seeing posts. Everybody will be posting in the group. Try your muffin tray idea. Works a treat. Oh, dear.
It's about making it exciting for them because obviously we're taking away that natural like hunting ability.
Yeah.
So we've got to find a way to make them excited. And
though it takes away the natural scavenging. Because they are scavengers, aren't the dogs? They love it. That's why, well, I mean, my dogs don't really go in the bins, but dogs do go in bins, don't they? So just the fact that they're getting to explore and kind of pick and choose which bit they want just gives them that choice as well, which is important, isn't it? We've removed every single choice from their life by having them in ours. So it's just a really simple way to give them that choice back.
Yeah.
And it's no skin off our noses, is it? Whether they have, you know, it's like, you might have to buy a flat surface to feed them on, or, you know, but you could just use a board if you've got one, couldn't you?
Like, I have two plates that are for the dogs as well. And that is like their plates.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
No one's allowed to touch them, although somebody probably ate off them the other week.
It's fine if it's been in the dishwasher. Yeah.
Just don't tell your parents what they are off. we just use a plate. You know, a pound in a shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can get a plate, so it's again flat surface for them. Or people use pasta bowls, I've seen as well. Because of them being that bit shallower, it's maybe better for their dogs, especially the brachycephalic breeds tend to look for those sort of things.
Yeah, well, mine are obviously flat nose. Well, actually, Barney is a really weird Boston Terrier. He's supposed to be a full Boston Terrier, but I swear there's something else in him. Like, I'm sure he's got Staffy in him because he's got a Staffy jaw. Like, if he grabs onto a toy, you can pick him up and he will not let go. And I'm telling you, he's so powerful. And he's really big and really muscular, and Boston Terriers aren't really big and really muscular. He weighs like 13 kilos. And he's about 45 inches long, so you know he's quite big. Whereas Boris is just like a total little skinny mini, and his nose is like, it's like half a centimeter off from his face. Like, he literally is one of the seriously flat ones. So it's just, he can't get his head in like yogurt pots or anything, you know, when he's trying to give him some yogurt, he really struggles, bless him. So that's another reason why we use a flat plate, so he can get to it.
Yeah.
He can't get to the bottom of a topple. That's how bad it is. He can't get into it. So
shame.
I know, it is a shame, but I don't think with topples anyway, he takes it to his bed and sits and babysits it.
Yeah.
You know, and then we have like friction going on in the kitchen because Barney wants to know what he's got in the bed, so we just don't use them anymore. That's another one I don't use.
But then you find what works best for your dogs, and that's what we always sort of say, isn't it, Nick, about finding the enrichment that your dog wants the most.
Yeah,
because I think, I bet some dogs really, well, you see all over Instagram, they really get into like the stuffed soda pup toys and the cans and stuff, and they will work it for hours until they get every single last piece of food out of the bottom of the can or whatever it is. Mine wouldn't do that. Mine would be like, I'm not messing about with that. You know,
that's just my dog with enrichment. She's like, no.
Not interested.
No. I'll have a lick in my butt, but anything else, no.
What about your other two? Do they like it?
Other two absolutely love it. I mean, Minnie, she eats out of anything. She'll eat anything. She's typical Jack Russell. She's not bothered.
Yeah.
Mabel, she absolutely loves enrichment a lot more, especially lately, because she's been diagnosed with slight mild hip dysplasia.
Oh, right, yeah.
Well, exercise, we're kind of going back to basics, where she's on like short 10-minute walks, building that up again. So enrichment is a big, big thing for her at the minute. She loves that enrichment. She does. I think she's just quite happy with a stuffed hoof at the minute. So,
oh yeah, hoof. Mine do like a good hoof, to be fair. And it used to really annoy me, like when I had the shop, because I used to do like the reels and stuff with the enrichment toys and make them look all fancy, and then like try and give it to the dog and it'd be like snubbed, and I'd be like, do you know how much time I've just spent doing this and you are snubbing it? And he's like, can I borrow your dog to give this enrichment time? But I think it is as well, like when you do, if you do get the enrichment toys, it's sort of enrichment for you as well at the same time, isn't it? Because you're sort of like forgetting about what's going on in the world while you're focusing on creating this beautiful masterpiece for your dog. Okay, so that is a favorite issue to deal with. What about you? Do you have a favorite issue to deal with, Vic?
I've forgotten. mine's probably the can't feed chicken crew.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
In all honesty, just because the amount I've had people who have come back after, like, I've given them the advice and then they've gone quiet. And we in all honesty don't have the resources to chase up and ask how people are doing. I wish we did. Yeah. We haven't. Yeah. And I've just left it. And then after about a year, someone's commented on to a similar post saying, I took Vic's advice and 3 months ago I slowly introduced it. And I'm like, amazing. You've worked on the gut. Yeah. You've literally done what I said of focus on gut health, bone broth every day. It should be a must-have for everyone, to be fair, but I know some don't. But yeah, bone broth every day and a nice gut support supplement in there. And then a couple of months down the line, attempt a little bit, but start with like an organic chicken.
Yeah. Because sometimes it's the food, isn't it, that the chicken eats, which is what is causing the problem in the dog, whereas they just think it's chicken in general.
Yeah, that's it. It was corn. Support saying that since we introduced the organic, then we dropped to free range, then it just shoved a day old chick in his mouth. and he was fine. And I was like, day old chick, I know for a fact the company that that's from does farm chicken, so that would have had corn. So then I bought a pack of chicken, but I made it into little meatballs. So I like defrosted it and portioned it out.
Yeah.
And every meal, well, every day he had like
it was like 10 grams, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like 10 grams out of his portion of like 350 was chicken.
Oh yeah.
After a week I was like, right, he's okay with that. Double it to 20. Another week double it to 40. Until I got up to a whole meal of chicken.
Yeah. You see, that's amazing, isn't it? And like if you'd have just trusted maybe the words of other kind of groups, you might have just been never ever feeding chicken ever again.
And it's so hard to buy food that has not got chicken in it. Yeah, I know it sounds like probably now there's a little bit more option, but I know Helena has issues with like finding products without beef offal. There's other people in the group who've got an issue. They can't feed chicken that's been farmed, but they can feed chicken that's organic. But it's so hard when you're shopping, and we were trying to do things on a budget, and everything had chicken in. Carrots, which Arnie can't have, although we've just started introducing it to him now, more by mistake than anything. I'm panicking watching him for scratching it a bit. But every single thing had chicken in, and you have to read not just the front of the label, because some of it will say like beef and you think, great, get it home, turn it over, and it's got chicken bone.
Yeah
or chicken fat, which is one of the main culprits as well. This is so annoying. But like you say though, even the raw companies are sly little dogs at times, aren't they, with bulking out the mixes and stuff.
I think there's one brand which I won't name obviously, but their chubs are very, very cheap and everybody raves about them. However, they use chicken bone in every chub.
Yeah, I know.
It's just them as a single protein.
What, really?
Mm-hmm.
You might have to give me that sly bit of information afterwards.
I found that out the other day.
You see, this is the thing, though. This is why, because, I mean, I don't know if you've seen what I've been doing recently. I've developed a No Fuss Fresh Challenge, and it's essentially teaching pet parents how to do DIY. And this is the reason why, because I just don't trust the mixers. Like, a lot of them are good, don't get me wrong. But I think if, you know, it's hard to kind of, unless you know somebody who's got kind of contacts and knows, it's hard to know what is in them. You know what I mean? So this is why I create my own meals myself, because Barney, who we've already discussed, he is one of those people who reacts to everything at certain times of the year. And because he has gut issues, and it is things like chicken and things that set him off. But so I have to do a gut reset with him when it comes to spring. So we'll be due to do another one because he's so sensitive, and DIY just works so much better for me because I can decide exactly what is going into the bowl.
Yeah, you've got that control. That's right.
Yeah, and it's just, otherwise he's just a big, itchy, miserable, you know, mess, because he's grouchy as well when he's itchy.
Yeah, imagine. Benji's behaviour when he was unwell was horrendous.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrendous. It got to the point of, we can't have people in the house unless we know them very well. So, mm-hmm. like, these guys, no issue, but if somebody just knocks and walks in, I can't trust that Benji's behaviour will be okay unless I know he's healthy.
Yeah.
If he's unwell, no, you're not coming in. Simple
yeah.
as.
Yeah, he's serious as well. And I think the thing is as well, when you have to put so much effort into managing your dog in that way, with in terms of itching and their gut health, if you do buy them in and it's got something in that's going to set them off, then you have some work to do to try and fix that, especially if you sort of like a few weeks into your reset and you're kind of making progress. You feed that thing that's off, you might as well just start
again. Yeah, a good 12 weeks.
I've been there and done that with Mabel. Mabel, she can't have like root veg, like carrot, parsnip, things like that.
Yeah.
But the girls have seen how bad her skin got off a tiny bit of carrot. And it did take a good 12 weeks for it to start to heal and get better. And it was hell. But we got there in the end. And she still tries to eat carrot. She still tries to pinch it off the side if she sees it. I'm like, you can't eat it. We're not doing that again. No.
So she hasn't associated the eating of the carrot with the feeling of being unwell yet. She's still got to learn. Barney's like that, though. Barney will eat anything. Like, he's not. He knows that he feels unwell when he does have his reactions and stuff, but he will literally eat whatever. I mean, we were out, right? I live in the middle of farmland, and I don't know if it was a mouse. I don't know if it had been killed by another animal or if it had been got by the tractor or whatever. But anyway, if it was digging in this grass, found this mouse and was walking around with it in his mouth like he wanted to eat it. Like, he will literally try and get whatever he can. He's disgusting. He's a proper dog. Boris would be like,
you say, mice, we've got like a small field behind the house. So especially winter, they'll try and come into the shed. And Minnie, being the typical terrier, she is just...
Oh, I bet she loves it.
On hunt mode, but I've got to obviously restrict her because she's obviously getting old and she's got Luxie and Patella in both back legs.
Oh.
So again, I've got to try and keep her resting. And she's like, I want to chase the mice. I'm like, you're not. You can't.
Oh, I know. Bless them. It's just in the nature, isn't it? Well, so I think... because we've been talking for ages, haven't we now? So let's wrap it up with, like, can you just tell us the name of the group, which I'm pretty obvious, and what information people can find on there? So, I mean, I think you've got things like guides and you have discount codes as well, don't you, for members? And what if somebody comes to the Facebook group, what are they going to find on there to use for their advantage?
Who's going?
I'm going to say, don't say it once.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, it's Raw Feeding for Dogs Made Simple UK. So, obviously, the Facebook group, you can ask questions if there's specific advice that you need or certain help that you're needing. We've got the admins and mods that can help answer the questions for you. If there's on the website, we've got loads of guides, so many guides. I don't even know how many we've got now, all covering various different topics, from like how to transition to raw, seasonal advice, flea and tick advice, information to do with like neutering and spaying. So if the question relates to something that we've got on the website, we'll give you the guide, but you can go and self-serve on the website as well. Obviously, you mentioned we've got discount codes on the website from loads of different companies. There's also calculators, so like feeding amount calculator, fish calculator to work out how much fish your dog should be having, like weekly. So that's the fish one, is based on different information on what you're feeding your dog as well. All the calculators were built by us. What else I've got on the website? I've got a supplier's map. So if you're looking for like a local supplier for raw, you can use that to see who's near you, or if you're going on holiday, it's helpful for planning. We used that when we were going to the caravan last September to see what raw shops were going to be near us so we could plan our buys. There's so much on the website. It's just it's constantly growing, because as soon as we find anything else out, like if there's a new resource, then that gets added to it as well.
I bet people asking questions also gives you direction for what kinds of things to make as well, isn't it? Like if you find the questions popping up, then you're like, right, we'll make a guide specifically for this. No, it is. It's amazing. And if anybody who is listening, if you are thinking about changing to a raw food diet, or you know, you just want to learn a little more before you kind of take the plunge, or anything to do with raw feeding, definitely go and check out their group, because it is such an amazing resource. It doesn't have 25,000 members for no reason. It really is amazing. And I will pop all the links in the show notes as well, so everybody can get there immediately if they want to, and come and basically show some support for your group and get involved, because I bet you get like lots of posts on a daily basis in there, don't you, from all the members.
Yeah.
And even just reading those posts and the responses on those posts can be really informational as well.
Yeah.
As obviously all of the other resources that are on there. So yeah. Fabulous work, ladies. Absolutely well done. Okie dokie. So I would like to again thank you ever so much for joining me on the podcast this evening. I have been looking forward to chatting with you ever since we booked the appointment. And I do genuinely think that this is going to be such a helpful resource for people who don't know about it already. Because, yes, there are 25,000 people already involved, but we still have a lot of work to do if we want to change things. So all the best of luck for everything that's coming for the Raw Feeding for Dogs Made Simple. I know it's going to be absolutely massive. And I am happy and grateful to be a part of your circle.
Thank you very much for having us.
Well, yeah. So I think if there is anything in particular that you ever want to discuss, like if it's a certain topic about nutrition or about transitioning to raw, or you know, kind of any specialist area that you want to do a podcast talk on, rather than obviously just the background information that we've covered today, I would be more than happy for you to come on and chat about that as well, because I think sometimes people do like to hear more about specifics. So it might be good if we can explore that. It might be something for the calendar. What do you think?
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, good stuff. Okie dokie. Well, I won't take up any more of your time, but thanks again, everybody, for joining me. And I hope you've enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Speak to you soon.
Thanks for listening to another great episode of the My Dog Made Me Do It Naturally podcast. Don't forget to check out the caption for any links discussed here today. And please, if you enjoyed the show, follow along and listen for free on your favourite podcast app. If you have any questions or would like to share your story, feel free to email me at mydogmademedoitnaturally@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Purpose of this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and should not be substituted as advice from a veterinarian or other professional. It does not form a client relationship with me, the host, or any guest speakers, and any information is not intended to and does not diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. And my guests express our own views, thoughts, and opinions as individuals, and the podcast neither endorses or opposes the views, products, or services discussed here. If your pet is ill, always seek advice from your veterinarian. I am not a veterinarian, and I do not treat disease or offer medical advice.